Welcome to Simcha Even Though and Parshas Kisevo. A word of caution. Some of this material is sensitive and might spark strong feelings. Still here? All right, here we go. Did you ever wonder why you never hear about a whole family of children supposedly hating one parent when parents are married? There's a good reason for that. It defies nature. Proof? Adult children are still trying to impress even abusive parents. Adult children still crave and yearn for a kind word from even the most neglectful parent. So the next time you hear a parent being totally trashed, propaganda style, be aware that you have been lied to. Even if it seems true, even if the kids are spouting and spewing hatred, I assure you there has been foul play. It's not teva, and such a thing never happens by itself. Fact, it's actually called parental alienation syndrome. Want to hear something counterintuitive? Children often tend to align themselves with the tougher parent. Sometimes it's to make sure they never get on the blacklist, or because they're being carefully rewarded for anything said or done against the rejected parent. I know too many women suffering not only from the indescribable loneliness of missing their children, but from the judgment of others, some of whom have never set foot in their home, even once. I might have believed rumors myself once upon a time, but not after what I've witnessed in the last 2 decades, not anymore. Okay, so that was an ambush intro. I know nobody was expecting that, but it has to do with this week's Parsha. Parak Chav Zayin, Pasak Tez Zayin. Aror Makla Aviv Imo. The Mefarshim explained this to mean mocking, shaming, and disrespecting one's parents in a serious way. And I think everyone knows what Aror means. Now, to answer all the trending questions of the century, what if your parents are emotionally unhealthy, verbally abusive, self-centric and neglectful, off the derech, on drugs, dangerous? All of these issues can and should be addressed, but with the guidance of a great person, not a mediocre person, not a well-meaning community askin or a zealous school guidance counselor, a great person who has the broad shoulders, life experience, and real Torah knowledge to decide how much contact is obligatory and when temporary separation is called for. Sometimes, when intervention is urgent, you might need a team, combining a professional's evaluation with the great Torah person's advice. Perhaps a child may need to live elsewhere for a little while, or in extreme cases, even for a few years. But the decision to take a child out of his home should break your heart. And before you make that move, first read Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Devarim and learn the halachos of ruling against someone. Learn what the actual criteria of Lashon Hara L'Tzoelis is. Did you know that all 7 conditions must be met before sharing information that could harm someone? And even if the child is safe or far away from a parent, there is never a Torah-based excuse for public degradation of a parent, like when an entire community ostracizes one parent. Throwing one parent to the dogs is saying, Hashem made a mistake creating you. The Chafetz Chaim teaches us in Mishnah Brura, Hilchos Yom Kippur, Siman Tov Resh Vav, that one of the situations where a person being asked for forgiveness does not have to forgive is when Motzi Shemra, untrue slander, has been spread about him, and it's likely that most people will never hear anyone saying, oh, sorry, it was a mistake. Of course it's a midas chasidus, a high level, to forgive anyway, but the person being asked for mechila is not mechayev to forgive, according to halacha, because the damage is often irreversible. Again, to forgive is beautiful and admirable, but since the maligned subject doesn't have to be mechil, you don't want to be that person on Yom Kippur standing there unforgiven, chas v'shalom. The Chafetz Chaim also says that one may not raise his own stature in people's eyes by degrading his victim. It's called being miskabed beklon chavero. Like when you hear people saying things like, we saved that kid, the parents totally dysfunctional. Or we took in the kid, we had rachmanis. Why do yeshivish families have so many kids anyway? You think Hashem is happy with that kind of talk? And another form of this is teachers chatting in the coffee room saying things like, why can't the mother check her daughter's homework folder once in a while? It's Hanukkah, and the Sukkot project we made is still there. Or, my student came to school wearing a yarmulke that says David, his name is Tzvi. Or, the parents could not care less. Sometimes I interject with something like, when my family was going through a hard time, that stuff could have been said about us. Maybe we shouldn't judge so quickly. And the response is usually, oh, you would never do that. And I'm like, when things are running smoothly, you're right, no. But that's my point. Regular people have hectic lives and challenges we don't know about. And now, since I might have traumatized half of you with my share today, a special treat. a beautiful, heartwarming story about family peace and the courage to forgive.
The following story has been brought to you by StoriesToInspire.org.
I was married a few years. I was learning in Kollel, and they were not paying me a lot of money, and I was driving a car that was the equivalent of a Sherman tank. It was my in-law's old-fashioned station wagon, you know, those bulletproof, brown, ugly station wagons. I think they were called Country Squires. Anyone know what I'm talking about, Country Squire? Anyways, so one day I turned to my wife and I say, I'd like to get a car. I want to get a car. I saw on the auction that there's a car available. So she says, we don't have money to buy a car. I said, in the auction, the ad says, there's an auction in Queens, a police auction, and you can get a car for pennies on the dollar. That means for pennies on the dollar, we can get a Lexus or a, you know, really a Mustang. I said, let's go. She said, yeah, but it says on the ad that you've got to give a quarter of the money up front. So I told her, by the way, I've been putting money aside. So I was in a colo that paid $1,000 a month. And each month I'd put away $100, $150. So I had saved up $1,000. So I said, look, we can buy a car that is worth $4,000. All you have to do is pay a quarter of the money there. She said, where are we going to get the other $3,000? I said, Hashem will help. Hashem will help. Let's just go. So we went to the auction in Queens. And when the auction started, we're looking around at all the cars. We had no idea what we wanted. And suddenly she looks at me and she says, where's the money? It's $1,000 in cash. I said, it's in my pocket. She says, can you please put it in your shoe? I said, I don't want to put it in my shoe because it's uncomfortable. Who likes to walk with a bunch of bills in their shoe? She says, somebody could pickpocket you. I said, no one's going to pickpocket me. Don't worry. I thought of that. And what I did was I took paper towels. I crunched them up together. I put about 20 of them on top of the money. So if someone fishes their hand in my pocket, they'll get paper towels, paper towels, paper towels. And if they reach the bottom of my pocket, by then I'll for sure feel them. And I'll do what any good rabbi would do. And I'll turn around and punch them. So she says, really, I'm still not comfortable. Put it in your shoe. I said, then I won't be comfortable. Let's just leave it over here. Paper towels. It's cool. The auction began. 5 minutes into the auction, the guy next to me taps me on the shoulder. He says, excuse me, mister. I think somebody just put their hand in your pocket, and my stomach dropped, and I put my hand in. Paper towels, paper towels, paper towels, paper towels. In 5 minutes, they had fished in. They had just found the money in the bottom and stolen all of it. I turned to my wife, and I said to my wife, we got to go home. She said, what, did we just buy a car? I said, no. I said, we got pickpocketed. And I expected her to yell and scream, but she did something worse. She didn't say anything. That was much worse. We got to the car. We're driving home back to Brooklyn. And suddenly my wife looks at me and she says, you know what? It's from Hashem. Don't feel bad. And I look at her like, pardon me? Excuse me? She says, from Hashem. Don't worry. I know you didn't mean it. Don't worry. And I'm looking at her. I'm thinking, who is this person? She should be yelling and screaming and so upset. Instead, she's like, it's from Hashem. We get home. I sit on my bed. She's sitting across from me. And I said to her, Shani, that's her name. I said, Shani, I want to let you know what you did today. You won me over for life. Any other person would be yelling and screaming. And you told me, don't leave it in your pocket. And I didn't listen. I was so stubborn. And when it got stolen, you didn't say anything. You just said, it's going to be okay. It's from Hashem. I said, I learned that you could appreciate someone even for their faults. I said, Shani, one day I'm going to pay you back. And so a few years later, my youngest sister was getting married. I turned to my wife and I say, I'd like to buy a suit. And she said, okay, go buy a suit. You haven't bought a suit in a few years. And I had a vision of a perfect suit with the big, thick pinstripes. That was in style in those days. I said, I really want to get this big, beautiful suit. And she says, go. And I looked around and it took me 3-4 days until I found a store that had exactly what I was looking for. I was so excited till I saw the price. And then I thought, oh no, I can't afford this. Then I remembered my wife's very smart words. She said, you deserve a suit, okay? So I bought the suit. And once I bought the suit, I needed to buy the shirt. And then I needed a matching tie. Then I needed a nice pair of shoes. Bottom line, it cost a fortune. But that's okay, because I deserve the suit. Then I had to take the suit and take it to be shortness tested. And then I had to take it, and I had to get it shortened and taken out. The whole thing was like a week and a half. But, almost done. But I would have the most amazing suit for my last sister's wedding. I have five sisters. She's the youngest. I'd have an amazing suit. Well, the wedding was in Cleveland. And my wife calls me up from Colo, and she says, do me a favor, when you come back at the end of Colo, don't come home and relax, because then by the time we leave, it's going to be 10 o'clock at night. The kids are going to be overtired and cranky. Do me a favor. Right when you come home, let's get in the car and let's go. I said, okay, but I didn't pack. She said, I packed up everything for everyone. I said, what about food? She said, you'll take it in Tupperware containers. Let's just leave as soon as we can. I said, okay. I come up from Colo within a half an hour. We drove from Brooklyn to Cleveland. I got there at 6 a.m. with my family. I daven. I rested until noon. At noon, my father calls. All the families are expected to be at the wedding hall for pictures. I said, great. Everyone's getting dressed. I take a shower. I come out. I say to my wife, okay, can I have the suit? And she says, sure. And I see her looking, and she's looking, and she's looking, and she's looking. Then she runs back to the car. Then she runs out. And after about 5 minutes, she turns to me and she says, I'm afraid to say I left it in Brooklyn. And I'm thinking, oh no, I spent a fortune on that suit. I spent a week and a half. The wedding is now, I have nothing to wear. It was a disaster. But then I remembered the auction. I remembered the auction. And I turned to my wife and I said, don't worry about it. It's okay. I came in a suit. I could wear that suit. I'm not the groom. Don't worry. I came in this like wrinkly blue suit. I said, that's okay. And I go out. I go out of the room feeling good that I overcame. I didn't show at all on my face that I was upset. I go, I shave, and I'm about to walk back in the room when I see that my wife had gathered all the children around her, and she was speaking to them. She's sitting on the bed, and all my children were sitting around her. So I don't walk in the room, but the door is halfway open. So I listen to what she's saying, and she's saying to the children, Kinderlach, children, I want to tell you something about your father. She said, your father bought a suit. It meant a lot to him. He spent over a week. He spent a lot of money. And I told him that I brought it. And he trusted me. And I forgot it. And he just found out. And she said, most fathers would be so angry. They'd be yelling and screaming, but not your Tati, not your father. He didn't make me feel bad. You knew it was a mistake. She said, I want to give you a blessing. I want to give you a bracha that you should grow up to be like your father. And she took each of the children and they stood in a row, and she put her hands on their head and she gave them a bracha. Yisimcha Elokim Kefayim Mechim Menashe. And she gave them a bracha. And I'm standing by the door, and I have tears rolling down my eyes, because she doesn't realize that it's from her that I learned it. It came from the auction. It's all her inspiration. We can appreciate each other, even with our faults. I give you a bracha, each and every one of you. Appreciate your spouse. You're lucky that they said yes when they did. Remember that to the last days of your life. Thank you very much.
Enjoyed this story? Come again. Bring a friend. StoriesToInspire.org.
Wasn't that an amazing story? What I took from it is that, first of all, I don't think I would have passed either test, and I'm someone that works on myself a lot. But those tests were like not stam tests. Those were like next level tests. I don't know that I would have passed it. But it was really a life-changing story. Like, ever since I heard the story, I really felt like no matter how much you feel like, no, 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 this is too much. Nope. You can stretch yourself that little bit more and tolerate something from someone you love because you love them. Have a great Shabbos.